next on Sound Doctrine.
Use what you're doing now to store up your treasures in heaven. And that's why he called this guy who was ripping his master off, his lord off, because he was giving everybody a break to get the accounts evened out. I mean, he was a thief. But the Lord still commended him because he says he's wise. So God help us to use the position that we have now to set up ourselves for later. And that's wisdom.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Hey, how's your investment portfolio looking these days? It can sure rise and fall in an instant, as we've seen over the years. But there's one investment that pays eternal dividends, and you can count on it being there when you enter into heaven. Today on Sound Doctrine, we'll turn to Matthew chapter 6 and see who we're to serve and where we're to invest. Jesus tells us, don't lay up treasures on earth, but rather in heaven. Here's Pastor Jeff Johnson with part one of Eternal Dividends.
Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. We're taking just one section at a time and just gleaning through that section and seeking to get the full message from this incredible sermon that Jesus gives to his disciples. Remember, he's revealing the difference between action and attitude. Man looks on the outward, and so people are always doing their actions, you know. See me, see me. And God looks at the heart. And that's where Jesus is trying to reveal to us, that God is looking at the character of the man, the attitude. That's what counts. So this sermon is to those that are in Christ, because without a relationship with the Father, and to them that come, that receive him, John 1:12, God gives the power to become the children of God. So many of you are going to receive Christ this morning. You're going to become children of God. And this sermon is going to be right to you, as it is to all of us who know the Lord. Because if it wasn't really speaking to those that know the Lord, then this message is pretty meaningless. Because remember, he's talking about our praying when we pray. He's talking about our giving when we give. He's talking about our fasting when we fast and sacrifice. All these things we're to do in secret, he said. Because your Father, which sees in secret, will reward thee openly. So we're talking about these little religious things that we do, or relationship things that we do with the Lord. This private life, this private world of ours. Jesus says, do it this way, and you're going to be blessed. But now in verse 19 of Matthew 6, Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth or rust doth corrupt, or where thieves break in and break through and steal, but lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So we get back to our attitude about things, about materialism. And I would say that these are those things that are the public things that we do. We live in a very physical world. So this is the secular side of it. The other side is the things we do to God. Now, what do we do about the things around us? How do we handle these things? It's a good question. Materialism is a very strong force. Remember this, as we were talking about giving, he gets right back to things now. But remember, giving is not God's way to raise cash. But it's God's way to raise kids. And as we give away our stinginess, our selfishness, and our weirdness. We need to give. We need to get in a mode of giving. We need to understand giving. So we talked about that. But now, what about money? What about material things? What about the things around us? You've heard the expression, it's a scripture, freely we have received, so we're to what? Freely give. So there needs to be that flow. We need to have an understanding if there's going to be a flow, or we'll begin to what? Hoard. Mine. It's mine, you know. Kids learn that right away, don't they? That's sin. It's greed. And so we have to be careful. So here Jesus warns of one of our enemies. Remember, we have three enemies in this world as Christians. Now, this is not good news, but we need to understand this, that the very body that we live in, that our spirit and soul dwell in, is our what? Number one enemy, I believe. Biggest enemy we have. Our very physical being. Got to keep this thing down, don't we? Keep our soul on top. Staying in the Word. Second enemy is the devil. The lies and the deception of the enemy. It's everywhere. You know, there's a spiritual warfare going on, even as we sit here this morning. Spiritual warfare taking place. And then, of course, the third enemy we have is world. Materialism, worldliness. And that's what he's dealing with here. Now, worldliness is loving the world. First John. John says in chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. I love that. So worldliness, it's a very powerful, subtle world of anxiety, you know, of worry. It's so powerful that Jesus said in Matthew 13, when he was talking about the seed, he said in verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and then the cares of this world, the cares of the life, the pleasures, Luke says, the pleasures of this life, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word out, and he becomes unfruitful. So be careful. Riches are very deceitful. And the reason that the world is our enemy is because it's seeking to choke out the word of God out of our lives. That which is real, that which has substance, that which is of God, this world seeks to squeeze out of us. So Jesus, knowing that this is a spiritual warfare, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, that things are trying to get a hold of us, to get us rooted in this place, be overwhelmed by the pleasures and cares of this world. Now the question is this: how much of us does the world possess? The question is not how much of the world do we possess, but how much of us does the world possess? Because it's seeking to possess all of us. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. How many of you know that? If you don't know that, man, what world are you living in? You're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer, though. I've overcome the world, Jesus said. So our relationship with him is key in our victory over this world. At one time, many thought that to become a monk is the only way to have victory over this world. I mean, this world is so dirty and filthy, it's best to just run away to a monastery. Run away, you know, and isolate yourself and listen to Rice Krispies and hang out with a bunch of bald guys and look at each other, you know. Weird. You know, I told you my little experience with the monastery. We were there on in the Judean wilderness, and we could see the Dead Sea and Jerusalem. And in this spot, I can share so many studies because we go from the Dead Sea and to the Jordan and baptism and Jericho, the place of the oasis, and Mount of Temptation. And so I'm given all these scriptures. And then we get to this place where behind me, as the group is watching, there's the valley of the shadow of death. And in that valley is a monastery on the side of the cliff. And it looks just so awesome, you know, in the midst of a wilderness. These guys, they're there to get alone with God. They're there to meditate upon the Lord. And this monastery down there speaks of our need to get away and get alone and have that time of meditation. And so finally, one year, we decided, let's go down there and see what that's all about. So we took the group, and every once in a while, we do weird things like this. And we took a 3-mile hike down into the monastery. It was so awesome. It was kind of raining, and it was just a neat walk. But as we got closer and closer, there's this generator going. We go, what is that? You get closer and closer, louder and louder. Then this guy, all white, skinny face with a black robe on, when we pulled up to the entranceway, he started yelling at me and screaming at me because I had shorts on. I was supposed to cover my legs, and I had the video on. He said, turn off the video, you know. And he's screaming at me. I'm going, wow, man, this is not a very holy place, you know. So what I did was I put my pants on, and then I kept the video going down at my side, you know, so he didn't see it. Because I wanted to get this. I really did. And so I'm walking up the stairs, and it's on all the time. I'm just going, showing it on the side. And I went into the kitchen area, and I'm nosy. So I start opening little doors and stuff. There's all kinds of booze up there. So these guys are getting out of it with the generator going, ay, 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 ay. And then they're just not doing real well as far as attitude wise. And then there's this room that I ran into that's a full of bones and skulls, and they had this one guy laying out there. And I went, what's this? And this is the bones and the guys that used to be monks. And they're guarding over these bones. And I said, oh man, what a place. And here I was thinking it was so serene, so incredible, so, you know, spiritual. When these guys are just sipping the juice and with and then yelling at each other and then guarding a bunch of bones. I mean, is this what life's all about? I mean, isolation's not good for you guys. You guys need to get out and see somebody, you know? You're losing it, man. And we learned a lot. So now my whole study has changed, you know? No, isolation is not good. In fact, Jesus, over in John's Gospel, chapter 17, I love this prayer of his. John 17 and verse 15, listen to this. He says, I pray not, and he's praying to the Father, that thou shouldest take them out of the world, that we would be isolated. No, he's not praying that we would be taken out of here, but that you, Father, would keep them from the evil one. What a prayer. That we're going to be in a filthy, dark world, but that the Father would keep us from the evil around us. And that we're going to get dirty, but we would allow Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to cut off that dung of the world off of us. Every time we come into a place like this, it should be a time of trimming. It should be a time of cutting. It should be a time of restoration. And that's why the Lord is here with his word, to snip away the things of the world from our lives, to keep us from the evil. So we're to be lights in this dark place. So first he gives his injunction. Don't store up those things on earth, but store them in heaven. See, there's a choice that needs to be made this morning with all of us. He's giving us a choice. And he even says, now, well, think this through with me. You know, if you put them on earth, then isn't it true that the moths and the thieves and all these things are going to happen? We go, oh yeah. Well, now, if you put them in heaven, you don't have any of that stuff up there. So you choose, though. So this is a needed exhortation. Not just with those that have money or with the rich. He's talking to everybody, all people. It's not possessions that he's concerned about, but our attitude towards possessions. That's what he's concerned about. Wealth isn't a sin, only our relationship with it. I love what Paul, talking to young Timothy, says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 17. Listen, he says to the rich, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. I love that last part. He gives us all things to enjoy. So the key is not money in this world. You know, a lot of people think it's, you know, he that has the most toys wins. No, you leave the most behind, guy. You know, you're the one that is wrestling with the toys. You know, no, he just wants us to enjoy this place. I like that. So the poor, rich, doesn't matter. Everyone is in danger of covetousness. Treasures come in various sizes. It could be the size of a little stone. It could be as big as a ship that you want to buy. Or a boat. It can be a wife. It can be a child. Stamp collection that you worship. Here, I think he's talking about the love of money. More than just the love of money, but it could be the love of status or honor. Or position. On your job, or in a home. It can be many things. These things can become your treasure. And what got to me is I realized that even success in ministry can become a treasure that you go after. Success in whatever can be a treasure. The exhortation is not to store or amass, hoard wealth. Interesting. In the Greek, this to lay up things is to lay them horizontally, to store them in that way. Now, those that misers and those that love money said, well, the reason the coin is flat is so you can stack it. And you can stack it and stack it and stack it and put it away and have it. And you remember those little cartoons of the miser and having all the gold stacked. It can be a power thing. It can be a promotion. It can be a position and a job. See, he's suggesting that these treasures on earth could become and will become valueless and wasted energy is what he's saying. Because if this is where your treasure is, then things are happening to it that is making it nothing, valueless. Unless it's done for God and for His glory. Now, here's the positive side. Jesus says, but lay up to yourselves. See, it's not a problem of having treasure, but it's just where your treasure is. And He says, lay it up in heaven. This has nothing to do with salvation. Now, this is not somebody that's working their way to get to heaven. What are you doing? Well, I'm just putting my treasures in heaven because I'm going to be so good. I'm going to overwhelm the bad things that I do, and He's going to take me. Believe me. No. Listen, salvation is not of works. You can't work your way to heaven. Salvation is in Jesus alone, in faith in Him and for what He did for us on the cross. That's the only way where anybody is going to get into heaven. He said, I'm the only way, the only truth, the only life. No other man can get to heaven but by me. He's our only ticket, isn't He? It's not through storing things up. So to those that are poor in spirit, who mourn, who meek, who are merciful. So what are these treasures? In Luke 16, there's an interesting story that Jesus gives. He talks about an accountant, that a man who is going to be fired by his Lord, this steward. And he said, you know, he lets him know, you're going, but I want you to get your books together before you go. Get your accounts all squared away. And the guy says, I can't believe this. I don't know what I'm going to do if I get let go. I mean, I can't beg. I'm too ashamed to beg. And I can't work digging ditches. I'm just not that type of guy. What am I going to do? And he started to think. And then he realized, you know what I can do? And he started to then call in all the debts of his Lord. And he asked them, how much do you owe my Lord? And they said, 100 of this, measures of this. And he says, just give me 50 and you're going to be paid up. And he started to go around to all of the debtors and just let them get off. And what he was doing was he was using his job that he had to prepare that when he got out in the world that he'd have all these people owing him. And so when he came to him and said, you know, I need a job, that they'd be fine, kind of like feeling indebted to give him a job. And what's interesting about this, in Luke 16 there, it says that the Lord came and commended the unjust steward for doing what he did, and said, because he has done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, Jesus said, or the Lord said, make to you, or Jesus is speaking here, make to yourselves friends of mammon and unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. So what is he saying? He's saying, use your position that you have now for that life that is coming in heaven. Use what you're doing now to store up your treasures in heaven. And that's why he called this guy who was ripping his master off, his lord off, because he was giving everybody a break to get the accounts evened out. I mean, he was a thief, but the Lord still commended him because he says he's wise. So God help us to use the position that we have now to set up ourselves for later. And that's wisdom. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 18, talking about the rich man, Paul goes on to say about him, he says that the rich would do good and that they would be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So preparing for that time that is coming, that we would, like Jesus says, occupy till he comes. And it really gives more meaning to that word occupy, that we would have an eternal perspective. I love what Paul, talking to the Corinthians, said when he said, for our light affliction, and this is in 2 Corinthians 4, our light of affliction is but for a moment, works us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal. They're passing away. But the things which are not seen are eternal. It's important that we have this vision, that we see heaven, that we have this hope in ourselves. Even as we are pure, this hope will purify us as we're waiting for it to come. Instead of a worldly perspective, and that's just counts on, well, retirement, you know. I'm just waiting for retirement. And when I retire, I'll have this much money, and then we'll be able to do this, and we'll do that. And they keep waiting for that hope that you have. The golden years, they call them. When you're going, where are we going? I can't see it. What'd you say? The golden years. When everything's going to be great, man. That's what we're counting on. Give me a break. We need a different perspective. Over in Luke chapter 12, there's a man that says, you know, and Jesus is talking about him. He says, take heed, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not of the abundance of the things that he possesses. But then he gave them a parable, and the parable was about this rich man that brought forth things that he had so much stuff he didn't know what to do with it. He says, I'm going to tear down my old barns, build bigger barns to hold all my stuff. And then I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But then God said unto him, you fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You thought everything was going to go this way, but God said, no, you're going home. I just did a funeral for a man that just bought a motor home. He had everything going for him. Was preparing for, you know, just a great retirement. Going to retire in 2 years. He was in a restaurant with his wife, and he just bowed his head, had a brain aneurysm, and died on the spot. It's gone, just that fast. Everything was going to be for the next couple of years. We're going to just have a great time. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And yeah, hey, man, no. If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. But oh, God has to be in the center of everything. When God is in the center of everything and you have your house in order, then no matter what happens, it is going to be a blessing. Because you leave hope with those loved ones that you have, that you're leaving behind. And you go on to be with the Lord, and the Lord will take care of them. And we go on.
That's Pastor Jeff Johnson on Sound Doctrine. We've just listened into a message called Eternal Dividends, part of a study in Matthew's Gospel. Well, as we close up shop, let me tell you how to hear these studies in Matthew again, and even catch what you may have missed in the series. They're available right now at sounddoctrineradio.org. That's at sounddoctrineradio.org. We also offer a free app and podcast. Look for Sound Doctrine Podcast. And we're at oneplace.com. We can also send you a CD copy of this message for a suggested donation of $5 when you call 800-353-7553. At Sound Doctrine, we're committed to teaching God's Word verse by verse, but we can't do it alone. We rely on the Lord and the faithful support of our listeners as we come to you day by day. And if you'd like to help people all over the world have access to Sound Doctrine, you can make a secure donation at sounddoctrineradio.org. And while you're at it, you might want to request Pastor Jeff's book, An Exhortation from the Shepherd's Heart. This is a commentary on 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. The Apostle Paul wrote a personal letter to two pastors that he personally instructed, loved, and planted churches with. We have the privilege to read these wonderful exhortations in God's Word. Pastor Jeff wrote this commentary from the perspective of a shepherd, with a heart for future pastors. It contains helpful commentary, illustrations, and detailed application too. Get a copy by going online today to sounddoctrineradio.org. Then click on Store. Or we can take your request when you call toll-free 800-353-7553. And please, if you would, include a little extra to help us continue this ministry. We'd be ever so grateful. Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff is a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. We'll catch you back here next time when we'll return to the Gospel of Matthew. So, Father.